Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of something good and hopefully something worth listening to today. I do not have coffee today. I got some fresh ginger last weekend, and I made some ginger tea. If you've never had ginger tea, it is kind of an acquired taste. It's not really strong, but it does feel good when you're drinking it. So, anyway, hope you're all having a good day and starting off a good week. Today is the 16th of October. We're on the backside of October now. And the weather has definitely changed. I think the hot fall is gone. I look outside and it's mostly cloudy and it's only going to get up into the 50s, and my lovely wife and I are really going to buckle down on getting things done outside, things that need to be prepared for winter, whether that's with animals or whether that's just with equipment. The time is now to get that stuff done. Did I get everything done that I wanted to? Nope. There's some stuff that just will have to wait till next year. Big projects, but anyway. Today, I'm actually working on another topic, and as I was doing some research on it, I found myself going way down the rabbit hole. And so after about an hour, I said, you know, I think I'm going to have to save this for a different day. And I found this little thing in my Facebook feed. It wasn't from any friend or anything like that. Apparently, it's just... big yawn. Something from Tracy's Total Look, whatever that is. It doesn't say it was, like an advertisement thing, but I don't know who Tracy's Total Look is. But it's a story that I think some of you may be able to relate to. It goes like this. One day, a farmer's donkey fell into a well. The animal cried loudly for hours while the farmer tried to find something to do to get him out. Finally, the farmer decided that the donkey was old and that the well was already dry and needed to be covered anyway, that it really wasn't worth pulling the donkey out of the well. Jeez, don't want to be the donkey in this story here. He invited all of his neighbors to come help him. They each grabbed a shovel and began throwing dirt into the well. The donkey realized what was happening and cried horribly loud. Then, to everyone's surprise, he quieted down after a few shovelfuls of dirt. The farmer finally looked down into the well and was amazed at what he saw. With each shovel full of dirt, the donkey was doing something incredible. It was shaking off the dirt and stepping on top of the dirt. Very soon, everyone was surprised how the donkey reached the mouth of the well, went over the edge, and trotted out. Life is going to throw dirt at you. All kinds of dirt. The trick to getting out of the hole is to shake it off and use it to step on. Each of our problems is a step up. We can get out of the deepest holes if we don't give up. Use the land they throw at you to get ahead. Now, there's a little bit more, but just in this short little story, you know, thoughts going through my head. One was, this farmer, it was an interesting rationalization. Well, the donkey's old. and the well is dry, so let's just bury the donkey alive, you know? I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about just different animals that we have out here on the farm. And I know people who, if an animal gets sick, depending on the animal, they just, well, ain't gonna get better, let's just put it down. And, you know, while we won't go to extreme measures, we want to do what we can. And in the story, the farmer, he spent hours, it said, trying to, you know, find a way to get the donkey out. But whether it's out of frustration for the donkey or frustration for the situation, he decides he's going to just bury the donkey alive. He can't do anything else. And sometimes in situations, we may think, well, nothing good's going to come out of this, you know. Just give up, just call it quits. And then the next part of the story is this farmer gets a bunch of his friends, his neighbors. And, you know, if the neighbors all came over, they may have been able to put their heads together to figure out how to get the donkey out. But what they did was, he invited his neighbors to come help, and they all grabbed shovels. They were just of the same mindset, defeated mindset on helping get this donkey out. They were like, oh, yep, bury it alive. Yep, no problem. We'll get a shovel. The next part, the donkey realizes what's happening and is terrified. Have you ever felt that kind of terrified? Not because you were a donkey in a well and they're throwing dirt on you, but just when you're desperate, you're needing help, and those around you, maybe not everybody around you, but those around you don't seem to be helping, or have given up, or have blown you off and, you know, they're not even around. That can be terrifying. That can be terrifying. You know, the donkey may have given up himself, or the donkey may have had complete faith in the farmer to get him out. And to see that kind of, I guess you could call it betrayal of giving up, that's terrifying. And then there was this accident that happened. Because I don't think the donkey probably figured it out. But as they were throwing in the dirt, shoveling in the dirt on the donkey, and the donkey sees what's happening, and as the weight of the dirt was falling on his back, he naturally started shaking it off. You see, I've used an example many, many years ago, or for many, many years, of, you know, on the topic of forgiveness. Sometimes it's like we walk around with a backpack, and whenever we find some sort of an offense, something that offends us, something that hurts us, something that a person did intentionally, or maybe they did unintentionally, but we hold it against them because we don't forgive. Then it's like picking up each one of those offenses is a rock, and we pick up that rock and we put it in our backpack. We come across another one, we put it in our pack. You find another one, you stick it there on the pack. Pretty soon the weight of that backpack is so heavy, you're bent over on the verge of collapse until you do collapse under the weight. But what's interesting is we have another little phrase out there that where we may say, hey, you just need to let it roll off of you like water off a duck's back. You know, one of the things I've learned is chickens and ducks are two different animals for a lot of different reasons. But one reason where they're different is chicken feathers absorb water. Duck feathers don't. That's why ducks can swim and chickens stay away from the water as much as they can. As a matter of fact, when it starts raining, chickens aren't going to stand out there in the rain. They start looking for shelter. They go back into, you know, their chicken coop, or they go hide underneath something. You know what happens when it rains and there's ducks? They have a party. They invite all their friends over, and they just stand there and enjoy the rain because it doesn't stick to them. It rolls off. As a matter of fact, they like hanging out at mud holes that are dry, and whenever it starts raining, they just wait there for it to turn into a mud hole again. And then it's like, hey, we've got a party. We got a pool party going on. This donkey kind of acted like a duck. He started shaking the dirt off. And when he shook the dirt off, he found out that he could stand by standing on it or tromping it down. He was getting out of the well. He was getting closer to the top of the well. And, you know, when we shake things off in our life, when we have a duck's back, we're learning from those situations. Sometimes the other people are just doing wrong things. Sometimes it's us, we're doing wrong things, or we're taking things as being bad or wrong. And when we shake them off and we understand them and we learn from them, we tromp that dirt down and we get higher in the well. Until we are not captive to the well anymore. And what's neat is, and I imagine this is the case as the story goes here, you know, the farmer looked down into the well and was amazed at what he saw. With each shovelful of dirt, the donkey was doing something incredible. It was shaking off the dirt and stepping on top of it. Very soon, everyone was surprised how the donkey reached the mouth of the well, went over the edge, and trotted out. So they kept throwing in dirt. Now here's the question that I'm asking is, were they looking at the donkey and going, oh my gosh, he's tromping down the dirt as fast as we're throwing it in and he's getting higher. We need to throw more dirt in there faster so we can get this donkey buried alive. Was that what they were thinking? Or did they see that progress and their attitude changed to the situation? And it's like, hey, this is actually helping. Let's get more dirt down there to help this donkey get out. You know, I've seen that situation where people have been, you know, with chronic issues like addiction. Just use that as an example. And they're at a family members or close friends may be at such a frustration level because they've done everything they can. They've thought of everything they could do. And they've given up. And then something happens. Some sort of other intervention takes place. And the person who is struggling with the addiction starts making progress. And then, just like the people at the top of the well, as they see the progress being made, are they going to encourage and, you know, continue doing things that helps the person get out of that struggle? Or, and I've seen this too, do they sabotage the recovery because they've gotten to such a place in their lives or in their relationship with the person who's struggling with the addiction that, you know, I'm okay with you being an addict. I don't want you to be back in charge of the family. I don't want you to have a different role, you know. And that's sometimes how things can be. There may be family members that sabotage the recovery because they have also developed a struggle with addiction because of basically the other person's addiction and how they're coping with it. And they a lot of times need to get some help so they can stop sabotaging. But getting back to this, the donkey got out of the hole. He didn't sit there and give up. Initially, he used a bit of panic to do something different, and it was working. And I believe because the people were surprised and astonished and amazed that they then started probably not throwing the dirt on top of the donkey, but to the sides of the donkey so the donkey could tromp it down. As you go through life, you may feel like you're in a hole. Or you've been in a hole, you've gotten out of it, and you don't want to get in that same kind of hole again. Well, after the story here on Tracy's Total Look, she includes 5 rules to be happy. And I'm going to talk about happiness probably on the next podcast, so I won't go into a whole lot just on that because I could talk a bit on happiness. But what are things that positive things that can help you? And there's 5 that she throws down here. The first is free your heart from hate. I have said this so many times. Hate is one of the most destructive things I've ever seen affecting a person and those around them. Hate is not dislike. Hate is despising something so much you wish it never existed. That's powerful. That's a very powerful definition. And hate is very powerfully destructive. We need to be freed from hate. And what's the opposite of hate? We can debate this, but I think a simple answer is love. Then comes the question of what is love? Is love just when something is going your way and you kind of like it? Or is love something deeper? A positive commitment to a type of relationship. You see, when you hate, it's hard to love because hate just bleeds over into all other areas of your life. Free your heart from hate and replace it with love. Second one she has is free your mind of distractions. We live in a society that is just filled with distraction. And I blame it on technology. You know, when you go back prior to World War II, there was no television. Television came about after World War II. You had electricity in the cities, but in the country, you really didn't have it until after World War II, when the rural electrification programs at the federal level came into being, and they started, you know, providing funds to run electricity to farmers and out in the country. And with that, technologies that came, we have tremendous amount of distraction. It used to be in the evenings, if it was hot, everybody sat on their porches. neighbors would come over. You know, if you lived in a town, people walked on the sidewalk to cool off, and you visited with people. You visited with people. I remember my dad talking about how, in the wintertime, you know, the roads were all muddy, and that between all the different farmsteads around here, there were trails going through the woods. People didn't walk on the muddy roads. They took the trails. And on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, the group of neighbors here would get together and play cards. And the kids would play outside, and the adults had little card tables and stuff, small tables, and they would sit around and different tables and play cards and visited and talked and learned. And what do we do now? Well, along came the television. That became a major distraction. Then along came the internet, and that became a bigger one. And then came technology with smartphones and cell phones. And you have people that go out for dinner, and you look around, and I'm guilty too. It's so easy to just pull that phone out of your pocket, have it on the table, and be distracted with, you know, the technology and forget about the person at the table with you. So get rid of unnecessary distractions. And with that time, spend it with the people around you, or with that time, spend it with God. Build that relationship with God. Number three, simplify your life. Life is very complex and very full for many people. And I think one of the good things that came out of the lockdowns of 2020 was that people en masse reevaluated their lives made some decisions of how can I simplify life? Simplify your life. If there's stuff that is just busy work, is that really where you want to spend the most valuable commodity you have, your time? It's more valuable than money. Simplify your life. Number four, give more and expect less. Become a giver more than being a taker or receiver. Yes. If there's somebody who's going to give, there has to be somebody to receive it. But give more. Give more. More of your time, more of your attention, more of your focus, more of your commitment. And expect less. If we have such high expectations, we're going to be disappointed all the time. But if your expectation is to be able to give, and what you receive is not the focus point, you'll be pleasantly surprised and satisfied with what you receive. And finally, number five on her list is love more and shake the dirt, because in this life, you have to be a solution and not the problem. I remember several years ago at my private practice, I was doing a little grief support group. There was two ladies in the group at one particular time. And they were struggling with the death of each one of their husband. I think each of them had been married for either 50 years or, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. And one of the things that each of them brought up was, you know, in the immediate aftermath of the death, for a couple of weeks or so, they had lots of family and friends giving support, staying with them, sharing in their grief. And then after the 2-week mark, for both of these ladies, all that stopped. because those people went back to their lives. Yeah, they had put a big portion of their lives on hold for the immediate aftermath, but then they had to get back to their lives. And each of these women were really struggling with that because they felt like they were just stuck at home and that people weren't coming and asking them, how you doing? How you doing? And one of the things I told them was, don't wait for other people to come and help you with your grief. You have to take the bull by the horns. You have to be the solution for your grief. You need to be the one that reaches out. And in one of them, I remember saying, well, that doesn't sound very fair. And I said, what did you tell your kids about fair? And she smiled and was like, you know, life isn't fair. And it's like, yeah. And they're going about their lives because they may have lost a father, a brother, an uncle, a friend. But you lost a spouse. Your loss was much bigger. They're recovering from their loss. For you to recover, you need to reach out and build, rebuild, and strengthen relationships with other people to help kind of fill in some of the loss. You need to be the solution. So that is it for our little story about a donkey and a farmer and how we can learn from that story. All right. That's it for today. We will catch you next time. Have a great one. Take care and God bless.